9. I propose that we start the business of the day. I would like to welcome from the department Mr. Jeffrey Ndumo. Welcome, sir. You look very lonely there, man. They sent you alone today. It reminds me of a book I read on Robben Island, Naked Amongst the Wolves. But I'd like to assure you, I'm not wolf. And I can see you are dressed. Before we start formally, good folks, we're invited to have a joint meeting with finance. There's a group of economists who are addressing people in the economics cluster. So I did explain to them that we have our portfolio committee. So most of us have to start here. So today, after our briefing, I would commend, encourage members to go to the old assembly. I'm told that that meeting starts at 9:30. So we are in your able hands, Jeff. So kindly tell us in this year of the youth what the department wants to do in order to put us on this path to empower and encourage the youth of this country. Thank you, sir.
Without them killing anybody.
Yeah. I might just say, without a single drop of blood.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and also thanks to the members of the Portfolio Committee. And I'm very pleased to be here. And it's unfortunate that I was not supposed to be alone, and I was supposed to be joined by a number of my colleagues. They happened to be deployed somewhere else, and therefore I had to come really on my own to show the burden of presenting to the Portfolio Committee. So next time we'll be much more many than the lonely voice here.
No, we thank you for that. You see, at least you all are still redeploying others. We have reached the time where we no longer redeploy, we recycle.
Exactly. I will be presenting really just our progress and also our intention as the department around the National Youth Economic Empowerment Policy and the implementation framework, as I was also requested to speak to that. The outline really of my presentation will look at the economic challenges facing the youth in South Africa, economic implications of the Youth Directorate, which we have just established, the Youth Economic Empowerment Legislative Framework, the National Youth Economic Empowerment Policy, the National Youth Economic Empowerment Programs and Projects currently being rolled out or being implemented or are still being started, and then also tracking performance, which is one of the issues that this particular youth directorate will be undertaking around youth economic empowerment in South Africa. In terms of the youth economic challenges really facing the youth, young people between the ages of 14 and 35 years constitute, Chairperson, 34.6% of the South African population. That's the Stats SA 2007. The 2007 Labour Force Survey registered unemployment as measured at 73%, and then youth in that particular category constitutes 73% of the unemployment figure. So in a sense, you can see very sharply that unemployment is very rife within the youth category of our population. Employment concentrated in the service sector, that is mainly that's where we see more jobs being created in our economy. Mainly that kind of employment tends to be a temporary work, which constitute limited benefits and also employment security. The categories that are most affected by unemployment within the youth category are the African youth, where there is high level of unemployment there, youth with low levels of education, especially those with secondary education, constituting the greatest proportion of unemployed youth, unemployed graduates, especially the African graduates. That's where indeed there is high level of unemployment that is affecting the youth. The possible reasons for this, chairperson, is that there is indeed a lack of enough available jobs to absorb unemployment youth in South Africa, almost 57%. There is a lack of adequate work experience among youth to be able for them to be absorbed in work, where we know that the practice within the workplace is to ask for very much a work experience, 3 years as a minimum, right up to 5 years. So most of the youth do not have these work experience to be able to be absorbed within our labor market. Inadequate and inappropriate educational skills in areas such as entrepreneurial and even technical skills. South African youth, chairperson, own a lesser percentage of the economy and remain marginalized in the mainstream economy, particularly black young women and men. The poverty among young people aged 25 to 35 stems from, by and large, really from unemployment. There is a lack of startup capital for young entrepreneurs, and this is still a challenge. The private sector has not played a role in contributing to youth development, particularly financial institutions, through extending access to capital to young entrepreneurs. So this is indeed a challenge that faces youth in South Africa. As we are, I think the following days, be celebrating Youth Day, we need to therefore take stock that these are the challenges that we have to address that are facing youth. And I think the DTI really is tasked with the responsibility of driving economic growth, has to therefore look primarily on this area of economic empowerment for young people in South Africa. We have recognized as the department the significance of fostering youth economic empowerment as an integral part of South Africa's economic transformation. The DTI last year, chairperson, has established the Youth Directorate, and whose main task is to promote youth economic empowerment in South Africa. That particular directorate is visualized to be it will be comprised of a director and two deputy directors. It will sit within the business unit that I am managing. And we are therefore, the expo within DTI has already approved the establishment. We are now currently have just put out adverts to appoint these particular people to head and drive the youth directorate within the DTI. The DTI, through the youth directorate, really is currently in the process of finalizing the youth economic empowerment policy. We believe that this policy will guide the DTI's drive to promote youth economic empowerment in South Africa. So, as you know, chairperson, that our directorate was established it was approved last year, and then we are already advertising it. We have just started, we've just commissioned the work to start the formulation and the development of the youth economic empowerment policy. This is one of the instruments, the policy instruments that we will be implementing to drive youth economic empowerment in South Africa. The DTI's youth economic empowerment will form an integral part of and be aligned with several youth-focused legislative and policy frameworks adopted by government aimed at creating conducive environment for young economic empowerment in South Africa. These legislative instruments, among others, include the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, where all the rights of youth to be empowered are enshrined within that constitution that was adopted in 1996. The National Youth Commission Act, which really promulgated and ensured the establishment of the Youth Commission in South Africa that will drive youth empowerment in South Africa generally, not only just economically, but generally. And then the National Youth Policy that was developed in 2000. And then, of course, the National Youth Development Policy Framework, 2002 to 2007. And the National Youth Enterprise Strategy in 2006, and then the reviewed National Youth Development Policy, which will run up to 2007, which we anticipating that cabinet will adopt very soon and ensure that it gets implemented. We have participated, working closely with the National Youth Commission and working closely with the presidency in driving that particular process, and even also in formulating this national youth economic empowerment policy, we are working closely with the presidency in this particular regard. We have consulted with various stakeholders in drafting this national youth economic empowerment policy. We see this policy that it will contribute towards increasing the level of youth participation in the mainstream economy. It will contribute towards increasing youth income through skills development and promotion of youth entrepreneurship. More youth participation in the mainstream economy through youth enterprise development and employment creation. It will also contribute towards increasing the real market in the economy and the growth of the South African economy. We see more economic participants through mainstreaming youth in the economy, higher economic growth through promoting youth-owned and managed enterprises, and then a bigger market for all. So that is really the aim and the objectives of this youth economic empowerment policy. And then it will also, the principles that will guide that particular way will be to promote competitive youth-owned and managed enterprises, really redressing the imbalances of the past through youth enterprise development, promoting a culture of youth entrepreneurship, promote gender inclusion and youth participation, promote transparency and accessibility, promote accountability and evaluation of youth economic empowerment, entrepreneurship and enterprise management and ownership must be encouraged as a viable career option for young people. These are the principles that are going to guide this particular youth economic policy that we're finalizing. And that there are programs that we have already started or which we are now starting really to implement for the South African youth, even though we're in the process of finalizing this particular strategy. Some of them we're already rolling them out. The first one, of course, is the policy that we are going to be finalizing this year. We anticipate that the minister is going to approve that particular policy before the end of this particular financial year. The DTI's National Youth Service Program is another particular program that we are driving. It seeks really to provide opportunities for young people to learn, gain skills, and work experience through services. It engages young people in activities that benefit communities and fosters in them a sense of patriotism and nationhood. And then it also fosters responsible citizenship and ensures that young people are not marginalized in the overall national development effort. So DTI is driving this particular program, and I'm going to elaborate on it in the next particular slide. We are currently chairperson rolling out with Umsobomvu the National Youth Service Program that we call it the Community Enterprise Development Officers Project. This really is a project that we are working in partnership with Umsobomvu to really achieve the following objectives: to train a pool of 138 community enterprise development officers through a structured training program culminating in them acquiring a certificate in microfinance that will be pitched at N2F level 5 and 6. These carriers of young people will be capable of deal origination, loan administration, and assist in entrepreneurial development aspects. We have identified, Chairperson, that one of the challenges, particularly in municipalities, is that our people do not have expertise when they want to start businesses right at the lower level of government. And hence, therefore, we have started really to train young people in this area, really, of developing business plan, of assisting in deal origination, also loan administration, and even assisting entrepreneurial development. And therefore, the CEDOs would be sourced from then 63 district municipalities, and these districts are also expected to mainly provide opportunity for services to these CEDOs. As you will, Chairperson, in terms of the National Youth Service, it's not only just to train young people, but it's to ensure that once they are trained, they get placements, so that they therefore ensure services. So in the area of placement, we are going to place them in those particular 63 districts where they are going to be able to be implementing. We have already entered into MOU agreements with some of the district municipalities who are completing that process to ensure that once they are trained, we are then going to ensure that they get those placements in municipalities. The DTI and its agencies will also take up some of these feeders in terms of opportunities for service. Our agencies such as CULA, NES, as well as also CEDA, will also take up this particular cadres and provide them with services in their own work. The project we anticipate will run for 12 months and is currently being rolled out. When successful, it is anticipated to be scaled up in the next financial year. So this is the first lot. We anticipate that if it's rolled out successfully, we're going to scale it up and increase the number of those community enterprise development officers that we're going to train and ensure that we place them in various areas of government. In addition also, the DTI's National Youth Service Project, we are going to be implementing it. This one is to promote National Youth Service within the DTI division and agencies. Here, we are going to be uptaking young volunteers, which will be provided with opportunity for services within various DTI programs and projects involving all the DTI relevant business units and agencies. Relevant programs and projects will take young volunteers in line with their requirements and also add value to the young people in terms of training and acquiring experience. Preparation for the implementation will be completed this year. Due to the high number of programs and projects that may qualify, a substantial number of youth are anticipated to receive opportunities for service. The project will also be carried out in partnership with Umsobomvu Youth Fund. Here, in every, there are about four divisions within DTI. We are therefore examining every particular programs and projects that are being run by DTI, whether you're looking at cooperatives, small business, whether you're looking at industrial strategy, you're looking at also in terms of our incentive scheme, and all the other agencies that are there under the DTI umbrella. We're identifying programs and projects that are run within those particular, within DTI, and therefore, in each and every program, we're going to place young people and ensure that they gain experiences, and we anticipate that by next year, we'll be having really a number of substantial young people being placed at the DTI to gain experiences as part of the National Youth Service Program. In addition, Chairperson, the other projects that we're aligning is we're aligning the youth economic empowerment to all DTI policies, strategies, and programs. We're examining our industrial strategy. We're examining all our sector strategies. We're examining small business strategies. We're examining all strategies that are there that are being implemented by government and ensuring that in all of those policies and strategies, they mainstream youth and put youth as the category that must benefit, that must enjoy support within those particular strategies and policies. So we are started really with that particular program. We have done a collated an information of all policies and strategies, and we have started really engaging with each and every particular business unit in mainstreaming youth economic empowerment in all those particular policies and strategies. We see youth economic empowerment not only as an area that's going to be driven by this directorate, but it's something that must be implemented by all government within DTI, all government programs and strategies. The National Youth Business Chamber is one of the programs that we're driving. We're working closely really with a number of youth organization, business organization and association. We want to create, working closely with them, a National Youth Business Chamber, which will be a voice, a national voice, uniting all chambers that are there for the youth and also giving one voice to the youth. And we believe that this particular chamber, if it is established, will play a catalyst role, really, in assisting and also promoting youth economic development in South Africa. The other program really that we are going to be driving is the Youth Entrepreneurial Promotion and Awareness Program. This one aims to increase promotion awareness of youth entrepreneurship and enterprise development opportunities. Currently this year, we have various programs. We're working together with the National Youth Commission. We have a particular entrepreneurial promotion and awareness program that is taking place here at Cape Town, where we are showcasing a number of opportunities that youth can uptake in government and support an enterprise development support program that are available for the youth. So this really forms an integral part of our youth entrepreneurial promotion and awareness program that we are already rolling out. The other one, really, we're going to align this particular policy, once it is finalized, with really all government policies, strategies, and programs, particularly in the area of economic development that have an impact on economic development, so that we mainstream youth economic empowerment in all policies of government, all strategies and programs that are being implemented by all tiers of government. We want to ensure the promotion of youth economic empowerment in the whole economy. That is the essence of it. And the other one, we are currently really with the Department of Communication running a program which is to establish e-cooperatives which are going to be owned by young people. Currently, SIDA is training a number of youth who are going to establish these e-cooperatives. We're targeting rural areas. There are about 36 of these e-cooperatives that we anticipate that they will be established and up and running next year. These are going to be e-cooperatives that are going to be providing IT support in the rural areas, computers and all that, to the people, so that people have access to information and can access IT and use IT as a tool to develop really enterprises. And these are the e-cooperatives that we are already training them with a view that these e-cooperatives are going to be established in the early part of next year. We are also putting together a mechanism to monitor youth economic empowerment in the whole economy. We've already started that process with our agency, where we are now already have engaged them to say to them we're going to be monitoring them moving forward, tracking their implementation of youth economic empowerment in that particular regard. But we see this particular mechanism, we're going to be using it in monitoring the implementation of the youth economic empowerment across all tiers of government, local government, provinces, as well as national government. Chairperson, also what we are therefore doing, we have started a process, as I've said, of tracking progress on youth economic empowerment. We have engaged with the NEF, and some work has taken place there. The NEF invested a portfolio. NEF invested portfolio June 2004 to 31 March 2008. Out of a portfolio of 117 transactions by the number, the NEF has invested in 6 enterprises that are wholly or partly owned by black persons under the age of 35 years. And then if you look at that, these are in various provinces, Gauteng, Eastern Cape, and the majority of them are by and large in Gauteng. But a process has started really from the NEF point of view to empower youth and ensure that we see the growth of uptake and support for youth in terms of financing from the NEF. Also, with the Asonge Share Scheme, 10,640,000 NTF shares worth 1.14 billion were offered to qualifying investors, which include investors between the age of 18 to 35 years of age, plus one bonus share for every 10 held after 24 months. As you can see, this is the breakdown of those particular Asonge shares, and also in terms of the various provinces. So really progress in that particular regard is already started within the NEF to see youth economic empowerment being effective. Also, within the South African Macro Finance Apex Fund, SAMAF, the approval for transfers for the financial year 2007 and 2008 was 55.2 million, Visa V is 65 million that was budgeted for, on lending disbursement was 9 million, the capacity building that is given to the intermediaries that are providing this, disbursing the money, is 10.7 million. The borrowers were 4,346, and the number of savers were 14,353. And then in that regard, within the loans that were given by SAMAF, 11% went to the youth in terms of the total of that particular figure. So really, there has been some progress that are starting. SAMAF is beginning to be consciously and engaging with youth economic empowerment. Also, in terms of the CULA on youth economic empowerment, this is the business approvals that were channeled to partners, and these have increased by more than 60% in the overall financial years from 2003 to 2007. But I must admit, Chairperson, that with CULA, there's still a challenge. We are already working with them. They've not yet began a process of really. They have informed us that they do have youth-owned client base that are there, but they've not began to capture the data so that we can also, and also as a policy, target youth as a category that needs to be given finances. In that particular regard, they've used a generic approach, and therefore I think moving forward, Chairperson, we're going to see figures reflected for youth economic empowerment in terms of lending by SMA. With CEDA as well, a total of 749 small enterprises were assisted through branches and EICs, and then 20,853 entrepreneurs benefited from training programs, 19,314 through branches and EICs, 1,539 through national programs, and then 783 through sector-specific programs on tourism, agribusiness, and cooperative support. And also there, I must admit, we still have a challenge there, Chairperson. CEDA has not yet started to look into really providing us clear figures of how are all of these instruments that are being implemented, the products that are being implemented, benefiting the youth and targeting directly the youth. And it's something that we've engaged with them, and I think moving forward, we're going to be able to record here in the Portfolio Committee progress in that particular regard, so that we can then see. Though on their own voice, they pointed out that they do deliberately target the youth, and they do believe that in these figures sits a number of youth that have benefited. But it's something that we have not scientifically determined. And it's something that moving forward, we're going to be able to work towards with them. 15,117 clients assisted through the call center. 346,000 unique visits recorded on the CEDA website. And then 98 new SMEs established through CEDA technology program. Most of these particular programs do have the youth, but scientifically we have not determined this, and I think this is something that Chairperson, we will then work with them in sorting out. We've managed as well in engaging with our provinces. We have secured at least one financial institution that is engaging with youth. 50 million, which has been reserved for the financial year for funding of youth-owned enterprises through a range of business products by Itala financial year 2007 and 2008. And then, of course, that particular money, they are still yet to show how it has been rolled out to the youth. 11 young graduates, though, and diplomats have also been taken into Itala's business centers under a learnership program, exposing them to a variety of administrative and financial skills. 650 youth delegates have received SMME training throughout the four regions of KwaZulu-Natal. So that is the progress so far that we have witnessed in tracking progress on youth economy. It's still in its infancy, still very small in scale, and we believe that, Chairperson, as we move forward, these things are going to be increased, particularly once our policy has been finalized and now is being implemented. The TTI, as recently as I've said, established a new directorate designed to promote youth economic empowerment. As a concluding remark, we are finalizing that policy, and we anticipate that it will be approved by the minister very soon, and then this year. And then, of course, we have started with programs. They are still on the early stage, and we see that we have also started with tracking some of what other agencies are already doing on youth economic empowerment. With these few words, Chairperson, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Duma. Members, opportunity for comment, questions. Mr. Labaskakhni, I've noted. Dr. Rabi as well. Can we start, Mr. Labuschagne?
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Mr. Njumo. This is an interesting development to have a youth directorate, and I wish you people well. You see that, first I'd like to know, what is your link up with the Department of Labor? Secondly, yes, like, you know, we have so many youth development programs. One can't keep track of them all. One wonders if they're working. I mean, you have the youth office, the youth commission, UMSA Bombo. We've got a youth policy that's 8 years old, development policy and enterprise strategy. It seems like the main course of employment is all the people working in these organizations that are supposed to be doing things for the youth. There's so many. It's just a bit mind-boggling. I hope you will contribute to bring some sense into this. I noticed that you've got Kula and that on board. So we have a youth thing and we have CEDA. We have a youth and we have Kula. All right, I think the fact that you're going to try and get them to have statistics to know what's going on for their, you know, organizations. But if I look at youth employment, the NEF, there are 6 enterprises that you mentioned in 4 years. 6 in 4 years, I'm looking on page 7. The share approval sounds nice, but that has got nothing to do with anybody else. It just seems like MTM organized, you know, sold the shares. Good luck to them. Then we look on page 10, slide 20. We say, again, I take the point that youth beneficiary is not recorded, so it's difficult. So these statistics are sort of, you know, very, I don't know how much they help us. You know, when you say a total of 140,779 enterprises assisted, you know, what does that actually mean or translate into? You know, somebody walks in and says, well, the other forms, goodbye. You know, is that, well, I suppose it's a form of assistance, but does it translate into anything? That is a bit of a worry. So, we have these big statistics of they've made calls to the call center and they've visited the website. But what is the result? It seems like the result still sits with, unfortunately, 57% unavailable youth, 25% lack of adequate youth experience, and so forth. So I hope you're going to be more successful, but we've had all these things going for ages and we just seem to replicate and duplicate. Do you think you're going to be any way more successful? Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Labuschagne. Dr. Radish. Thank you, Chair. My question has got two aspects, Chairman. First and foremost, I see that you assisted something like 15,000 clients through the call centers. My question is, Chair, especially in the rural areas, you find that unemployment amongst the youth, and I think Mr. Ndurma has said that it's very high. Is there a policy from the Department of Trade and Industry to identify rural areas and to where there's telecommunication and incentivize people to establish call centers there? Because, I mean, young people can really can provide employment to them. And then the other question, which is also important, Chairman, is that I know this falls under the Department of Labor, but we've spoken about the fact that quite a number of young people are unemployed. Shouldn't the Department of Trade and Industry look at the reintroduction of the apprentice system? Because many of the developing countries have a system of apprenticeships, and it's doing very well. So I just want you to look at that too, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Chair.
Dr. Ravi, thank you very much. Kindly switch off your mic.
Sorry.
Comrade Tenney.
Yeah, Chair, thank you very much.
we don't want to, we don't want to sound that every time you people appear that we complain. But it's getting very frustrating to see all these wonderful projects and programs, and yet on the ground things are not really happening in the sense, because in this presentation you reflect on the percentage unemployment within the youth, which is mainly African and mainly black. But you also said at the end, look, we've assisted so many people, forget about the MTN thing, because it did not provide jobs, by the way. And those people hasn't got money as yet. They must still wait until MTN sort out this problem that they can't sell or take over or not, whatever. So that's another issue that could take. The whole question of the declaration of dividends into an uncertain future. But you also, what's happening here? You also mentioned that some entrepreneurs have been created. It's not a lot, but something has happened. But in that, there's nothing says that how many jobs those entrepreneurs have created amongst the youth themselves. So if you can just get those kind of statistics, it would help. And also, I'm slightly confused, Chair, because you say you'll partner with Mzibombo, but what is Mzibombo's role? Because it seems to me this presentation supersedes the role of Mzibombo. So if you can just give clarity, couldn't this program come from Mzibombo itself? And why should it come from a sector of the department? If you can just give us clarity on that regard, thank you.
Thanks, Comrade Danny. Ntate Maja, followed by Mentuli, and then followed by Comrade Tisi.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question is that we have a lot of youth in rural areas. They are roaming about there without work, and they are even illiterate, you know. And I just want to know, how do you accommodate these illiterate youth into your skill stream so that they can also be part of economic development? Thank you.
Thanks, Comrade Mike. Mentis.
Thank you, Chairperson. And sorry to be late. I slept late. I woke up half past 7. thank you, Chairperson. Paging through this presentation, I can see that you have trained 650 youth delegates. That you say the 650 youth delegates that have received SMME training throughout the four regions of KwaZulu-Natal. Now, I'm a little bit worried. You don't specify as to whether the training that they receive enables them only to be retailers, does it involve manufacturing? Does it involve agriculture? Does it involve engineering? Does it involve processing? You know, there must be some categories to show that we are developed. You know, if you develop a person, if you train me in order to develop me, I must be able to be creative. I must be able to say that there's nothing that is happening in my area, but there's potential. That there are things that I can do as a person using 1, 2, 3. I must be able to sit down and analyze the situation and say, this is what I'm going to do in this particular community to develop the people in this particular community so that people can have choices. If people have income, they have choices. So my problem with the trainings that we receive you bring somebody from a particular factory, is going to train people along those lines. But now, we need training that will make people creative. What is it that you are actually doing? That's my question, and it's the only question. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Mentili. Comrade Sisa.
Thanks very much, Chair. Let me also echo my colleague's input about commending the input by Mr. Ndumo. I trust it's along the way it's going to help us get a little bit of clarity as to what DTI would like to do on youth economic empowerment. We definitely, some of us, are trying our best on the ground to do the same. Hopefully this will reinforce those humble efforts. But I'd like also to just re-emphasize the issue of role definition. Because out of experience, one has worked a lot with Umsobo Mvu, for example, and to quite an extent, the National Youth Service. So if you could just rehash that, you know, how do you integrate and what kind of intersectoral coordination do you have? The other area is, it seems you have made a discovery that you need to focus on the youth, but then my question is, what about disabled? There are 2.5 million disabled people in South Africa. My understanding that the fact that the sensitivity to vulnerable sectors has made you conceptualize this directorate, conceptualize this whole program. But it strikes me that the only thing I see about people with disability here is just a demographic information in page 9. Nothing anywhere else. And by the way, South Africa is just to be starting a pilot on the UN Convention on the Rights for the Disabled Persons. And that's driven at president's level, which I assume then it then coordinates and interacts with all the various departments. My assumption then in this area or this presentation was that one way or another you would have alluded that that's one of the instruments that will guide you in your work. Let me just turn to what Mandula has said, page 11, training of 650 youth delegates. It would be helpful as we move along, not only DTI, but also within the economic cluster, when it comes to empowerment, to training, to get an idea as to what strategy guides you and what plans guides you. Why am I saying so? Just on training as an example. Let me take an example in what one has done. In my constituency, I've initiated a program for economic empowerment of women. It has taken a long time to shape up. But with those humble beginnings, just between April and this month, 40 women have been trained. And there's another 110 which has just been exposed to one-day briefings. Well, that's just one small area done by a parliamentary constituency office. And I'm looking at this figure and said, if I had the same resources by whoever was doing this in those four regions and take my rate, surely I would have done far more. That's why I'm trying to say, if you see the comparison, I don't want to accuse that you're not doing enough, but at the same time, I don't want to be just as a person certified that your rate or whoever is doing it, you know, properly. Because amongst other things, at some stage, which I'm also provoking you to respond to, is to look at the success rate. It's one thing to invite youth into activities, one thing to invite youth into training, it's one thing to help youth to get business plans, it's one thing those business plans to be submitted for processing and funding and get them business places, and it's another thing to even to mentor them. So amongst other things, I hope one of the tools you'll ensure, not only as this directorate, but working with your various agencies, is the success rate. Thanks, sir.
Comrade Sisa, thanks. I noted you, Mr. Labaskasni, before you, that much addressed, and then I'll give you the opportunity.
Thank you, sir. Mine is on a training. I just want to know how many people, youth, which you have trained, you know, how many who have passed the training? Because when you train people, there must be passers and also failures. How many passed and how many failed? And what do you do about those who have failed? Do you just reject them totally forever as a failure, or what are you doing about those people? Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Labaskar.
Thanks, Mr. Page. when I look at page 6, you say, and if you, you know, young volunteers will be taken up. Could you explain that? You see, I mean, if you're going to take up 20, 30, 40, 50 people into the DTI as young volunteers, will they be paid? The unions don't like lesser salaries. How will that work out? Will it be a differential pay scheme? Will they work for nothing? Will they be there for 6 months, 3 months? You know, could just explain what you mean by young volunteers, and you want other people to take up young volunteers. Volunteers are usually people who work for nothing. It is a mentorship scheme. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Oscar. I think perhaps now is a good time to take some responses to the comments and questions of Mr. Ndumi.
Thanks, Chairperson. Let me start with the last question of young volunteers. In that program that I mentioned, which is the program on the National Youth Service Program that we're going to be implementing within DTI, as I've said, within that particular program, we've got what we call the one that we're driving with Umsobomvu, which is a community enterprise development officers project, which we're going to implement it, and then which is the first phase of implementing our national youth service program. And then the second one really is the one on the DTI one, where we're identifying all the programs. There are three beneficiaries that are targeted out of the national youth service program that we target out of that program. And as I think, I'd like to believe that ministers know, the MP knows that program was driven really by the presidency, and all departments I expected really to have an uptake, because there was a target that was put out there of 40,000 youth must be in as volunteers serving within government as part of contributing to their national youth service. And we as DTI are going to be contributing in that particular respect. So the volunteers that we're looking for in this particular program, these are young people who are at universities, some of them, who are at FET colleges, some of them, who are coming out in their college level, either they are completing their degrees, or some of them have matriculants, they have matriculated. They are fairly, by and large, literate people who are, most of them have not had experience of work environment. And they have background, some of them in economics, in terms of their studies, or some of them mathematics and all that kind of stuff, can fit very easily within the mandate of the TTR. That, these are the volunteers. And the approach we're going to be taking is that we're going to be putting them on a service to get experience on a one-year service program as volunteers within those respective programs that are driven by TTI or projects, so that they will come out having gained experience, having learned a new area which they would have not otherwise have learned if they were outside TTI. And then, in some instances, you might find that those business units within TTI might be so impressed with an individual that they might end up employing that person full-time. So that is the essence, really, of the matter. So they are going to be given a stipend just to recover transport costs, food, and all that in that particular service period of a year. And they are also not given a full-time job. They are there as volunteers to gain this particular, as part of the National Youth Service Program, this work experience, and also a new skill that they would have not been otherwise been exposed to. So really that is the criteria and also the conditions under which they are going to be brought in within DTI. They are going to be within a year. Now, if for the unit decides to employ them full-time, then they get into the full package payment as full employees within the DTI. But within a specified period of that 12 months, as volunteers under this program, they're going to be receiving a particular specified stipend that will be given to them so that they get transport costs and then they gain that kind of an experience as a volunteer service as part of the National Youth Service Project. So really that is the way this particular program is going to be implemented. I hope that answers.
I have a follow-up.
Yes.
Okay, and Andrew.
Yeah.
I said I was talking. We have a shortage. Your mic, please.
You're talking about people with, you know, sort of matric, university, and so forth, in this program. There's a shortage of, I think, I don't know, well over 40,000 vacancies in government. Why don't you just employ them? I mean, how many people go, you know, usually you leave university, you apply for a job. Why don't you just give them a job and a proper salary instead of a stipend? I'm a bit at a loss at this program. I mean, we have a massive shortage in the public service. It's not your job, the public service.
Right.
And you take a graduate, and you're giving a stipend. What is it? Give him a job. And he can work, and he doesn't do his job properly. I suppose maybe it's easier to get rid of him after a year if he doesn't work under a stipend. But it just seems a very cumbersome situation. I said that we are verged. Actually, I've now moved from your specific department because you are carrying out a mandate, but it is a bit mind-boggling. I mean, I left university and I applied for a job.
Eventually, we want because some of the hindrance that this program is trying to address is the fact that most of these young people do not get employed full-time precisely because they've got no experience to show for where they've worked. Hence, therefore, what this program is trying to do is to address that impediment that I identified earlier in my presentation, whereby one of the impediments facing youth to get employment is precisely the lack of this work experience that they are facing. So in that particular respect, we will see that this particular program will assist in that regard, with a view that that youth, if he has succeeded on the program, and also that he has, of course, it then puts him on a much better footing to secure a full-time job and also to get into the mainstream of the labor market. That's really the essence of the matter, to bridge that particular gap that is there in that respect. And in some instances, of course, units are going to be encouraged to full-time employ these youth if they're impressed with them, so that if they believe they've got a vacancy and they see that this particular young person can fill up some of those vacancy posts, then they will definitely be allowed, and this program allows that kind of graduation towards full employment where the unit believe that. So it means they will need to budget for it and ensure that that youth gets fully employed where they desire that, that particular young person to employ him full time. So the program really is within that particular mandate. That's how we're driving it. And I agree with the point that, yes, where there are vacancies, I think people who are graduates need to get those full-time jobs. I mean, I don't think that is an issue that can be argued against. And then on the other point, how many have really passed and failed in terms of the 650 that we have trained under this particular program? Just to go to that question, I think all of the really candidates that I've mentioned here have, in a way, graduated. There's been no failure there. But in instances where there are failures, I think people are not kicked out on the basis that they've not succeeded on a particular program. But what it means is that another particular process, an extension of that training until a person understands, is able to master that particular area, which is trained on, is clearly demonstrable. Then that person is given that particular extension so that it is... So most of these things are not based really, by and large, on failure and pass, like in a classroom. They are based on a person eventually coming out, understanding and applying the skills that he has been trained for. And I think that is the unfortunate part that I've not included to address the question that was raised. In what sector, which sector were these people trained? And they were trained in various sectors. Tourism is one of the sectors that they were trained. They were trained, some of them, on areas of agriculture, because some of them are in the rural areas of KZN, on the agricultural, how to drive agricultural farming and all those particular areas. There are multiple factors which I could have really provided if I thought that was relevant. I think in the future I would definitely give the specificity of various skills that they are trained on. Technical management skills, of course, to run business efficiently, both your financial and management generically of managing business, but they are also trained to specialize on certain particular sectors and understand those sectors that they are seeking to get involved in within those particular factors, tourism and a number of other particular sectors that are there, some of them retail and some of them services sectors. So these are a variety of sectors that have been trained on, the 650 within that particular category. And all of them have succeeded in the sense of having completed their training. So now, I think where I take the point is that the success rate, yes, one can measure it narrowly in terms of people that have come through and succeeded in being trained. But I think the success rate is to the extent to which these individuals are able to establish businesses that are thriving and growing. And I think in measuring that, it's something that I take as a point that we will need to do that moving forward, so that we don't only just measure to the extent to which people have come through and succeeded in getting that particular training and understand that training, but it's to the extent to which now in applying that particular knowledge practically in the work where they establish their businesses, that's the level of success rate that we need to be gunning for. And I mean, I think that that is the aspect that one would in the future adopt and also provide that kind of also. I think in terms of the strategy that guides us on training, we are driven really by the strategy which DTI has tended to adopt around enterprise development. That if you want to create entrepreneurs, you need to provide them with necessarily training, which is a non-financial support training, which deals with capacity building, which provides what we call technical skills, your management and the rest of the other particular skills. And then what you also have post the training, which is the mentorship, guiding them throughout, mentoring them even when they are running their businesses, which is your post-training phase when they are now running their businesses. So that particular value chain, the entire value chain, not only just training a person or the level, the value chain of training them in terms of the management skills, business skills, entrepreneurial skills, right up to the level where they get access to finance, and at the level where now they're running the enterprise, they get mentored in running those businesses. This is the kind of the approach that we've adopted at DTI, which is applied by our agencies when they're rolling out that kind of training to the beneficiaries. Where I really do take that, we need to provide clear role definitions in the future. I think Umsobomvu is more a fund agency, and it also provides non-financial support. why we're working with them, why they're not taking this program, is precisely because we believe that they are much more well-versed with the sector, which is the youth sector. Hence, therefore, we are partnering with them. And we are even partnering with the Youth Commission in working with them on all of these particular programs, because what we're seeing is that we need to synergize. Rather than working in isolation, we need to synergize and work with all our agencies in meeting our mandate. Hence, therefore, this program. But this is a GTI program, which is the National Youth Service Program. It's not UMSOBOMV. And the UMSOBOMV are also given the role of being a secretariat of the National Youth Service Program. That's the role that they are playing. They're providing a secretarial role. And hence, therefore, in that particular capacity, we are then working with them as a secretariat of the National Youth Service Program, and then we are therefore partnering with them, because some of the program that we're trying, the National Youth Service Program, they are also going to take and employ some of the youth in their branches, which are going to be the cadres that are going to be providing that deal the deal origination, but also they are also seeing that is in their vested interest, so they are partnering. We have designated 3 million in the project, particularly the first one. They are going to be contributing 7 million, and the whole program is going to cost about 10 million really to roll out these particular 130-something cadres that are going to provide this deal origination. So the program, yes, it is a GTI program, but I think we're working with it in partnership with them. They are contributing something, and they're going to benefit out of it. We're also contributing something, and we're meeting our mandate, and we're also going to benefit our agencies in the process. And in the process, the youth of South Africa are benefiting in that particular regard. So that is really the approach that we've adopted. In terms of the disabled, I mean, I take the point. I think that the disabled is a cross-section category. It covers women, it covers the youth, it covers everyone. And I think I endeavor that in the future, as we roll out the youth section of the youth, we'll look also the disabled youth and ensure that they are integral part of the beneficiaries of the youth services. But I think on a broader level, DTI will need, I think this is the issue that is beyond only just me as my unit alone. I think something that DTI will have to engage with it broadly as a department, that we put a policy, an economic empowerment policy, that's going to drive the disabled people in South Africa and ensure that we are pushing that. I think already there is a discussion in the pipeline along those particular lines, so that we ensure that the disabled people are also given that particular voice much more generically, and then the instruments that drives that particular process. And I think the department is moving along that particular direction. We're not yet there. We need also to ensure that these are approved by our expo, they are approved by the minister, and then I think then it can be implemented. It's something that I think is worthwhile to also promote. But from a youth point of view, all the youth that are disabled are going to be beneficiaries. And in that particular regard, we are going to also report on them, on how we're impacting in that particular respect. So I take fully the point. I don't think it's up for discussion. I embrace it fully. In terms of the how many jobs some of the programs have created, I have not really gone in providing the jobs. I think moving forward, I will ensure that as we report in each and every program that we're implementing, we also show the jobs that have been created by those particular programs. I don't think that is an issue for discussion. On the area of apprenticeship system, I think that is an area that is still being debated within government and within even DTI. Because you will recall that during the early days, during apartheid, apprenticeship was at the heart of training. Of training of young people, and it got in a way really abolished when the new system was introduced that is now currently running. I think it's something that I think already people are seeing that maybe we have made some errors in completely abolishing that particular system. So it's something that I think moving forward will be revived. There is a potential for it to be revived because it played a very critical role, particularly during the apartheid era, in training our young people. And therefore, in that particular respect, I think it's something that we are already engaging with as DTI. and then you'll see that part of our program. Because the beauty about the apprenticeship also is that you can easily partner closely with companies themselves in driving it and implementing it. So it's something that we are going to really take forward in that regard. I mean, I don't think that that is an issue, really. We see the programs really that as we are going to be implementing them, we are seeing them. The policy, what it will do, most of these programs, if you look at NEF, if you're going to judge it, why it has only created few enterprises. I would admit, one of the shortcomings was that youth as beneficiary was not seen as something that was reported and something that needed to be driven directly. It is only recently that our agencies are coming to the wake-up call that we need to drive youth and promote them, as much as also that was the case in the other categories of our beneficiaries. So as we move forward and with the policy being completed and being rolled out, we see that the number of our youth that are going to be youth-owned and the jobs that are going to be created among youth are going to now increase, because we will be having a direct policy that every agent of government and every department of government will therefore be responsible in driving and implementing. And therefore, I think that is the level of which we see an uptake and implementation will increase, because there will be a direct policy that drives that. So I take the point that really the figures are still minuscule, they're still small. It's precisely because there was no policy that was driving that. It was not there. And since we are now putting it in place, we foresee that therefore there will be an increase in impact, and there will be increase really in terms of the rollout and even the implementation. We are going to work with the Department of Labor, particularly with respect to employment creation and also looking at this question of the dual labor market, because it's going to impact primarily within the youth sector, it's going to impact on employment. Because that issue of the dual labor market, your market, the labor market that is a fixed wage and fully employed, and therefore also the contract employment that is there. So these are the areas that are going to also inform our policy discussions, and we're going to be working with the Department of Labor in that regard. What should be the policy's position with regard to that dual labor market as a way of creating jobs? These are the issues that are going to come to the fore, and then we see that we're going to be working closely with the Department of Labor in that particular respect. So I think, I hope that is all the questions, really. I've tried to answer them. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Ntuma. Comrade Danny?
Yeah, no, I just wanted to assist or rather compliment Comrade Jeffrey in the fact that the apprentice system hasn't totally been abolished. Through the learnership program, it helps to create, in a sense, job opportunities through the learner system, which takes slightly longer than the apprenticeship took before. But in the end, after the completion of a learnership program between 3 and 4 years, then that particular learner can go right to his or her apprenticeship. So that system is currently in place, because I know in my constituency, on an ongoing basis, people are going to write for apprenticeship. So I just wanted to make that kind of...
Okay.
Question. Thank you.
Thank you, Comrade Deng. Comrade Tis.
Thanks, Chair. Just a few additional areas. The first one is the industrial policy. I trust and hope that this program will take into account the industrial policy as the key guiding light or framework, because the jobs and businesses and everything can be created anywhere and everywhere, even in luxury goods and things. If people feel like setting up a jewelry, maybe jewelry has got some beneficiation as part of minerals, maybe, let me be cautious, but there are the industrial policy is key four areas that have been highlighted as yet. Others are forthcoming. To me, it would be more appreciated that there's a bias towards them, so that we can see that there's a reinforcement for the realization of IPAP, if I'll go to that. The same goes with the rural focus. I've just been paging your presentation, and I didn't pick up the bias on rural focus, because that's amongst the tools that can be done to ensure dampening, not necessarily reversal, but to an extent addressing the urban influx, to whatever extent. Although I must indicate that I've seen this, that you did make mention of agro business, you know, to an extent, but that should be quite intensive in all respects, I would dare say. Just one last point, Chair, which is more of a general thing, but I'm saying it to DTI as the convener of the economic sector or economic cluster in any case. We always get figures of what has been done, but no one is trying to grapple with that and said, what is the national footprint of whatever delivered, whether it's a sector or an overall? What has been done and what is upstanding? You know, if you say we've penetrated our target by 10%, by 5%, because one of the risks or concerns that I have personally is selective delivery. It would be nice that from time to time we come and get reports that just to see that this is what we've done and we're not, and say, look, things seem to be moving. We should be able to see the extent to which we're making impact and what is outstanding as well. But I'm cautious to say that it can't just be a DTI baby only when it comes to that. Drive it strongly at cluster level, because your MAFISAs, if I can take an example, your expanded public works program, another example, what else can we talk about? Whatever other contributions that are made by the cluster departments, that's the cumulative effect. I think we need to start grappling with that, because at times, you know, when you go and see the extent of demand and backlog on the ground and try to compare with the reports that are coming here, I think sometimes one is really at a loss and say, look, you talk of a national footprint, but the question you are trying to say is that to what extent have you been able to cover the ground? A big question, but still, it has to be tackled. Thanks.
Thanks, Kourishi. Your chance to rejoin the...
Yeah. I think the last points are just relevant. Yeah. I mean, these are points that I just must take without any arguing with them, really. I don't think there is anything to argue there. I embrace them. I think what we need to do, which I agree, we are a leading department on the economic front, but we're not going to achieve this thing alone. It means all the departments are going to have to play a role in this regard. We are going to coordinate them and ensure that we give a coordinated approach to it, to its implementation, and in fact even also on reporting and gathering that impact. We're going to coordinate in providing that so that we can then bring it here to the portfolio committee and report on that particular footprint. I mean, these are points that I think I just take really fully. I want to say also, Chairperson, just as a concluding, I think next year I'm going to be bringing this policy now as a fully fledged policy so that I can then also present it fully to the House as adopted by DTI. So that's what I'm going to be doing as well. I hope that I will be accorded that opportunity next year, definitely. Thanks.
We definitely accord you that opportunity. As we said from the beginning, this is almost the initial briefing, as it were. And you did say that all these programs are at the infancy. So we'll remain in touch with you, as members have tried to articulate, also to share the experiences in regard to the challenges that they face in their constituencies, so that the work will be complementary what we seek to do in our constituency and the assistance that we'll obviously seek from the department as well. So thanks for the brief, and we will stay in touch with you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
If there's on our side where we can help, please just make us aware, then we'll endeavor to do our best to assist you in the work that you do.
Thanks. In fact, I think your input next time when the policy is ready, I would very much appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mr. Dumas.
I'm sure Mr. Roach will come back.
Thank you to everyone, members, stakeholders, interested parties. Our meeting is adjourned. For the members, Farida, I made mention earlier on that there's a meeting in the old assembly by this Harvard group briefing members. But I was just saying that you just keep a tag on the question paper, unless you need to do a follow-up this afternoon.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, good folks.